You're listening to Cards Subject to Change, brought to you by the For Frequency's Sake Podcast Network. Subscribe to For Frequency's Sake on your favorite podcast platform for the newest episodes of Educated Ignorance, The Data Lab, Cards Subject to Change, and other great podcast content. It's Card Subject to Change, and you know what that means. We're here reviewing everything all out. I'm with my tag team partner, the Honorable Nick Bull. As always, I'm the Wizard CZ. Nick, I gotta ask you, you were at All Out. How was it, man? What did you think of the show?
If you can tell by my voice, it's kind of raspy. I went all out at All Out. Unbelievable. I went last year. It was my first ever pay-per-view experience. I've been to Raws, SmackDowns, house shows, stuff like that. I've been to Ring of Honor shows. But last year was my first ever pay-per-view. Came back this year and amazing. This year was exceeded my expectations and was above and beyond last year. An excellent experience. I went all out. Like I said, I hope my voice can stand this show. And man, there's a lot to talk about. It was an absolute freaking blast.
And such a great weekend in professional wrestling all around. I want to get into All Out, but I feel we got to do a flyby about a couple of things. Yesterday,
sure.
WWE did have their NXT show. Just going to give a quick recap of the results. You had Ricochet and Carmelo Hayes starting off the day. Melo retained the title, still the North American champion. Tag team unification match, pretty deadly. The Creed brothers and a couple of other teams.
Easy, hold on. Pretty deadly.
Yes, boy.
Pretty deadly. I love them.
I'll be honest with you. I watched the show except for the main event, and I don't remember the other two tag teams that were in this match.
I think it was Briggs and Stratton. Is that their name?
And Briggs for sure. I can't remember the other
Briggs
guy's name.
Briggs and Stratton is a tool company. That's a joke. Briggs and Stratton. I know it was the Creed Brothers. Gallus and Pretty Deadly. Yeah, this was the card that we kind of talked about ahead of time, maybe, that NXT, this was the one that UK was probably going to get if they got one, and they did. So I'm going back to watch that show, but you tell me, I heard that Melo and Ricochet stole the show.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, I turned it off before the main event. I plan on going back and watching the main event at some point, but Ricochet and Carmelo Hayes hit it so far out of the park as an opener of any card, let alone NXT. Just was brilliant. Carmelo Hayes is someone to watch. Obviously, Ricochet has been someone to watch for a long time, unless he's getting squashed by Brock Lesnar. That's neither here nor there. but I thought the show was decent. They unified all the UK titles with the NXT titles. Pretty Deadly came out as the winner. I was surprised by that. I thought they were going to give it to the Creed Brothers because they've been pushing them pretty hard. No surprise on the women's unification. You had Mandy Rose walk away with the unified women's title. A non-unification match, you had Carter and Chance against Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Carter and Chance retain their titles. And no surprise to me because they're pushing him real hard. I have a feeling he's going to be on the main roster before you know it. Bron Breakker walked away beating Tyler Bate for the unification of the NXT and the NXT UK titles.
How do you look at that? Is Tyler Bate getting the call up, or is Bron Breakker going to get the call? It's weird how to look at that. I'm excited. I'm really excited to go back and watch that Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet match. I heard that was the show stealer. I'm glad you confirmed it. Trust your opinion. So that is going to be something I'm going to go back here and watch in the next couple days. Despite the fact that this weekend has become almost bigger than SummerSlam weekend, in my opinion, CZ. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's because the proximity of All Out being in Chicago, just 2.5 short hours away. Maybe it's all the stuff that's just going on in wrestling. Maybe it was the Clash at the Castle too. But this is almost second to WrestleMania weekend. It's just it's such a big thing, and All Out is unofficially considered AEW's WrestleMania, so they treated it like it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking the same thing. All Out is 100% AEW's WrestleMania. They've built it as such over the last couple of years. This was no different. I don't want to necessarily cover the pre-show, but I think we should just touch on the results. Sure. You had Sammy and Ty against Ortiz and Ruby Soho for, I believe it was for the mixed tag titles, correct?
The triple A mixed tag. That's triple A. I was just trying to be fancy there. I don't speak very much or fluent Spanish, but a triple A mixed tag championship match was the opener of the 0 hour pre-show, whatever you want to call it. Yep. That was the opener.
And Sammy and Ty, they retained their titles.
Yep. Sir.
Hook, big up and comer, defeated Angelo Parker. I believe he had Daddy Magic with him at ringside, correct?
He did, and that, you know, that caused the fact for Action Bronson, for, you know, people who don't know or who aren't familiar with Action Bronson. Action Bronson is a rapper. He's got shows on Vice, a food show. He's a food critic and rapper. He does the Hook theme. So he came out there to aid Hook in the end, got a big pop from the crowd. That was cool to see in the pre-show.
Absolutely. And then you move right in. You had Pac going against Kip Sabian. Kip Sabian is a name I haven't heard in a while, but I've heard good things about. And obviously, Pac is just a freaking terrorist. Excellent wrestler. Should have been hyped up way more than he was when he was Adrian Neville. But I think WWE dropped the ball on him, and I'm glad to see he's doing well elsewhere.
I'm going to go ahead and just run the disclaimer right now for frequency's sake. When CZ called him a terrorist, that was a compliment as a wrestler because he's just all over the place. That was a compliment, correct, CZ?
Correct, 100%.
You said that, I'm like, oh no, he said terrorist. But no, I'm just joking here, and that's what we're doing. But yeah, I think Pac is a top five wrestler in that company. In that company, maybe in the world. He is. I think he's just so underused by them, underused and underutilized. Yes, he's the All Atlantic champion. He won it at Forbidden Door, a legendary pay-per-view. He then goes and defends it at these small indie shows overseas, and what does he get? A pre-show match. I just don't like the placement of Pac there. I would have rather seen Pac versus somebody else on the main show. That's just my opinion. It was still a good match, and seeing Pac wrestle live is a treat.
I can imagine. I think that would be thrilling to watch because he's just such an all-around fantastic person in the ring. Great wrestler for sure. I'm sorry I missed that match. I was running around. I didn't get down to – I was at Lopi's in Davenport, Iowa. A little shout-out to them. They were carrying All Out. I got there in time for the last match on the pre-show. Eddie Kingston versus Tomohiro Ishii.
This was a hoss fight. Was that not a hoss fight?
Oh, man. I don't know if you remember. I texted you when I sat down and was watching it. I'm like, this just looks brutal. And your response was, it sounds brutal in the arena.
It does. It sounded brutal and it felt brutal. And everybody felt it. I mean, the crowd, I was part of the crowd, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't leading chants or anything. The crowd did its part. Even in the pre-show all night, there was a dead spot in the crowd, and I'll talk to you about that later. But the crowd was thundering. Every time someone got chopped, like the crowd felt it too, like, oh, like it just, the chops took the wind out of it. There's electricity and buzz in the air with those, and it just like, you felt it and heard it.
And I'll be honest, throughout the show for me, I'm not in the arena like you are. I'm in a restaurant that is airing the show through, I want to say the first three matches or so, there was more music and more noise from the patrons of Lopi's than there was me hearing the pay-per-view. And the only seat that I could find, my view was obstructed most of the night by a hanging lamp. So I had half the screen cut off, and I'm glad I saw what I could.
And then you did what you normally do. You just started commentating like you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude, I like watching. I like watching shows on you. No, I hear you. And when it's a live show, you definitely want to hear it. And I hear you there. But thankfully, you was able to get the audio issues were able to be restored. You were able to listen to the audio as you watched it.
And the nice thing was for me, and this is a teaser we'll get to a little bit later. There were some people that I saw down there that I hadn't seen in a while, some local wrestlers that I was glad to be in contact with and got to enjoy the pay-per-view with. That was what did it for me more than anything, view obstruction or not, was I had some camaraderie there to view the show. It was nice.
That was the best part for me, too. I was with a group of friends. I'll tell a story. We can tell more story. Pre-game party in the parking lot where all the music was entrance music. And wrestling fans just, they're a different breed, CZ, as you and I both know. But, like, there's never really anything disparaging. Like, everybody likes their people, but everybody kind of has a respect for each other. It's just kind of a cool thing.
Now, they don't necessarily have respect for the companies they don't like, but they have respect for each other. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is my disclaimer for the entire rest of our longevity of doing Card Subject to Change. I cannot stand someone disparaging another company. Great, you're an AEW fan. Great, you're a WWE fan. Don't shit on the other company. That ruins it for me. I just love wrestling. I have an obsession with it. I'll fully admit that. I don't care where it's coming from. And it really sours me when I hear someone saying, oh, AEW is the greatest and WWE sucks, or vice versa. When I'm on the show...
You're right. The disparaging, there's no need for it. You can disagree with the opinion. You don't have to like it. But disparaging, I mean, there's stuff in wrestling I don't like. You know what? I don't like the deathmatch stuff in GCW. But I still watch GCW stuff, okay? I just don't watch that part about it, and I don't disparage it on air. I don't like it. I don't watch that part of it. It's as simple as that, people. If you don't like something, A, you're not that important that you have to compliment on it to a mass people, okay? And two, why? Okay, just because you don't like it doesn't mean – I mean, I'm not a Young Bucks fan, but I can tell you there's a lot of Young Bucks fans there last night. So, just because I don't like them doesn't mean I'm wrong. Obviously, they're a good team. A lot of people like them. So, yeah, disparaging, there's no room for that whatsoever. I got you there.
And there wasn't any of that for me this weekend. I just wanted to disclose that. That's how I feel.
It's an unwritten – like baseball has their unwritten rules. You just wrote down the first unwritten rule of the Card Subject to Change. Now listen to that oxymoron.
Yeah,
I don't know how I came up with that, but yeah, the no disparaging stuff. If you want to crap on a match, make fun of a match, absolutely, but don't crap on somebody for liking something. I mean, that's just because I'm going to crap on matches here, but just because you like something and I may not agree with it, I'm not going to say, hey, dummy, that's stupid. Why would you like that? No, we're not going to do that here.
And we're going to do some of that as we go on with the podcast here. Nick and I, just a little teaser. We'll talk more about it later. But next week, I have this obsession lately where I want to watch shows that are absolute garbage just so that I can talk about how absolute garbage they were when they aired. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end of the show. But
yeah. And you know what? Well, the disclaimer will run. We won't run the disclaimer before that show because I probably will make disparaging remarks against that pay-per-view. I know it's one of your all-time favorites, but we'll get into that later. But no, absolutely. We will rip apart some shows on here. We'll rip apart some moves and some wrestlers. But, yeah, we're not going to rip each other apart.
No, and that's the underlying rule for me is I'm not going to crap on what you like. Don't crap on what I like. But it's hard. That's hard to do with me because I just love wrestling, no matter where it's coming from. So, Nick, let's...
Are we to the main card now?
Yeah, let's get into it. We're on the main card, and I think it started hot. I do have some complaints that I'll voice in about the casino ladder match, but at the start of the show, what was the crowd like? What kind of reaction did they get when they actually started the official pay-per-view?
A rabid reaction. Crowd was ready. Crowd was in their spot for the 0 hour pre-show. People filtered in, don't get me wrong, but a majority of that place was full, was filling up when the 0 hour, was going on. So the place was electric. Everybody's jacked up. The pyro's going off. You know, they're counting you down live. And we could see before the pay-per-view that the match, we could tell before everybody else could, meaning the fans in attendance, that it was going to be the casino battle royal, or the casino ladder match, as they were bringing out a plethora of ladders from back and getting them arranged around the ring.
And obviously the chip had to be hanging above the ring at that point too.
Yes, that is when they lowered the chip from up above. Yeah, they had it hidden from above and they lowered it. Yep.
So, you know me, I don't like to talk negative about anything. I'm going to tell you what I don't like about this match, and I'm going to tell you why.
And I'm going to tell you I think I know what you don't like about this match, and then I'm going to tell you what I told my buddy after he's probably going to say close to what I think you're going to say. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I'm with you.
dude, I am going down some Alice in Wonderland sentence, run-on sentence, strain of conscience here. I'm sorry. Not a lot of sleep in the last 24 hours, but for a good cause.
Absolutely. You got in. You texted me what time you got home, and I'm not going to disclose that, but it was well early in the morning or extremely late at night, depending on your perspective.
Depending on your perspective. That's right.
So here's what I don't like. Everybody had an entrance at separate times during the match. Here's why I don't like that. What is stopping when the first two guys are out there beating on each other? What is stopping guy number three from just coming in, grabbing the ladder and climbing up and taking the chip? Same with guy number 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
I think that's the casino part of it. That's supposed to be the great unknown. That's not where I thought you were going, but I get it. I see what you mean. I was kind of caught off guard by the countdowns. You know, I kind of thought they would all start in the ring and maybe like the Joker would, you know, no show them at first, but eventually show up. I didn't know. I guess I forgot or failed to remember that was going to be like that. It didn't really bother me. It didn't really bother me to the extent it bothered you. But I see where you're coming from. It didn't bother me at the time, but I see where you're coming from.
And here's the thing. I think that setup is great for a battle royal, which I know they've done the casino battle royal before. Obviously, WWE has the Royal Rumble where they do that every 2 minutes a new competitor is coming in. But for a ladder match, it just doesn't make sense to me. Have everybody, even if you leave the Joker out and have him come down a little bit later, have everybody start in the ring.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think outside the box here. This may be how they differentiate. This may be how All Elite Wrestling differentiates themselves from WWE's Money in the Bank. Because with Money in the Bank, everybody starts in the ring, right? And essentially, the Money in the Bank is the same thing as the casino chip. I just don't think the casino chip can be cashed in at any given time, like the briefcase, you know, it's kind of announced when that match is going to be.
I'll give you that. Overall, though, you know, I don't have a lot of notes because it was hard for me to take notes where I was, especially with an obstructed view most of the time. But there was one spot where the ladders were all just in some awkward position, and you've got Claudio trying to raise and push someone off of a ladder when it's tangled up with another ladder. What the hell was going on there?
Yeah, what had happened was the guy was, I forgot who the wrestler was on top of the ladder, but Claudio tilted it So he controlled where the guy was and then proceeded to lift the ladder and tumble it over the rope. It was kind of like a feat of strength thing. It probably came off a little different, but that's how I saw it. I don't know how it came off on the feed or how the cameras were taken, but that's what they were going for there, trying to tip the ladder and then balance it and throw it over the rope.
Okay. I'll give you that. It just felt awkward to me. Not bad awkward. Just, it was a little strange because I'm sitting here looking at this. I'm like, what in the hell is going on?
It did look kind of weird, but at the same time, there's so much going on with ladders and ropes and all that stuff. It's a wonder it didn't happen more often.
Yeah.
And I thought Claudio pulled it off like a pro and just kept, you know, did it right. But yeah, it just, my number one concern going into this match was I hope Dante Martin didn't die. That was my number one concern. I did not want somebody to die, and he's the tiniest guy, the smallest guy in the match, and I love Dante Martin. I just did not want him to die.
I can understand that. overall, I thought it was a decent match. You had a lot of good ladder spots. There, I believe there was a sunset flip onto a ladder or some kind of flippy move from one ladder onto another ladder.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's going to be one of the pictures that we'll feature on our social media. Got a great picture. It was Andrade giving a sunset flip powerbomb on the ladder, the prop ladder, to Wheeler Yuta. And I got a really cool picture of it, in my opinion. Let us know what you think. We'll have those posted on social media later here tonight.
What did you think of the end? You have three or four completely black-clothed, masked individuals running out, holding everybody up. One of them climbs the ladder, revealed to be Stokely Hathaway, to grab the chip off of the ladder, and then the Joker shows up and Stokely just hands the Joker the chip. What did you think of the ending?
Well, I thought it was masterful, knowing now what we know. Okay, knowing now what we know, it was masterful, but at the time, that crowd was hungry. They were rabid. And then when that happened, there was, it wasn't deathly silent, but there was a, over the crowd. Okay.
Okay.
Like, wow, this is cool. Okay. Yeah. You had an idea who it was, but for a group to raid, because when they raided, they all had hoods on or hats. You couldn't tell who it was.
Right.
So you had that element of surprise. You're like, man, what group is this? You figure out who it is. And then for the Joker to walk down, hand the briefcase, and get handed the briefcase. It was perfect. And I don't know if you could hear the music that was being played.
I could not at this point.
They bought the rights to Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. And you will know this as a Ring of Honor fan. As soon as I heard that, I thought of CM Punk when he won the Ring of Honor title and then immediately turned heel and said, yes. Hey, the greatest lie the devil ever told was that he convinced people he didn't exist.
Yes.
And I heard that, and I'm like, you know what? Man, this is deep. And then we'll get to that later. A clip of that is later. On the show, but yeah, he comes out to Sympathy for the Devil. You know, the match comes to a screeching halt because everybody got taken out. The music's playing, and the Joker is taking his sweet ass time to get in the ring, if I'm not mistaken, right? The Joker's just sprinting down there. He's just taking his sweet ass time. The crowd, the crowd didn't hate it. But I had a friend call up to me. He's like, oh, that really sucked the air out of this place. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I go, 2 hours from now, you're not going to remember that ladder match and how it ended, right?
Right.
Right, because, man, they sowed the seeds early. Now you're like, who is this guy? One. Two, can he cash in tonight? You know, those are the first two questions you're asking yourself. So I think the crowd – received it very well. Just trying to take in the whole thing they were pulling off. I really think the crowd took it in well. I think the crowd, it was received well.
And I wish I could have heard the crowd at that point, because like I said, at the beginning of the show, there was a lot of background noise, a lot of talking from customers of the place I was at. So there wasn't a lot of sound for me from the pay-per-view until a little bit later on.
Yeah, we're not spoiling who it is until later, but list off the members, if you could, of Stokely Hathaway's group. We've got the newly signed W. Morrissey, the former Big Cass from WWE, who looks great, mm-hmm. by the way. I'm calling him Test 2.0, by the way. He looks like a jacked up version of Test. And when I say jacked up version of Test, that's a compliment. I'm a Test mark, by the way. So they got W. Morrissey. Don't they have the Ass Boys? The Gun Club?
Yeah, I because he was definitely recruiting them. They had to be part of that.
Lee Moriarty?
Yep, Lee Moriarty.
And was there somebody else?
I don't remember.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is all those guys are accomplished wrestlers, but none of those guys are a big name. That group was missing a big name, and they get it later. Am I not right?
That you are correct.
Yep.
So, and we'll get to that later, but it was nice that the show was bookended the way that it was. Yes. I don't want to touch on that until later, but
right.
So we move from the casino ladder match over to the trios match. And if you've been paying attention to AEW for any length of time, which I have not, but I still know this, when Adam Page joined the Dark Order, you had to know that the finals were going to come down to the team with Kenny Omega versus the team with Hangman Adam Page. Am I wrong?
No, they really blew the ending to that when they tried to get paid Hangman to join their team. And then they cemented it with the brackets and how they had the brackets set up. Now, I will say this. I loved this match, despite the fact I'm not the biggest fan of a majority of the participants. This match was awesome. The fans loved it. It was the final of the Trios tournament, so we're seeing another belt introduced to AEW. I'm not going to crap on this. I'm not going to crap on this yet. I think this will be a good thing. It's going to get more people on the card. And this is something back from the NWA, WCW days, even back WCCW. That's World Class Championship Wrestling. You had six-man tags. So I don't have a problem with it. I like it. But, man, the Dark Order, the crowd thought the Dark Order had won a few times, as did I.
It looks like it.
The way they ended it, though, was perfect. It's just the beginning of another story. But for not being a fan of majority of the participants, the match was amazing. You know, when I woke up yesterday and made my way to All Out, I didn't think I'd hear the crowd chanting, you know, chanting for Alex Reynolds. But they were, and it was a great match. My complaint with this match is placement on the card. I thought it should have been later in the show, but hindsight's always 20/20. Knowing what we know now, hey, it was in the perfect spot for the show. We can talk fantasy booking 101 later, but I don't know if there's anything I'd change about match placement on the show. But this was an excellent match. I loved it.
And, you know, in my opinion, I think the right team won based on AEW's booking, their standard booking. I mean, from what I saw, it looked like we were getting a little bit of sound as this match was coming on. The crowd just went wild when Paige and Omega got in the ring together. But you had to know that the Elite was going to come away as the champions in this one. They did a great job building the drama through the match, don't get me wrong. But, you know, with my fantasy booking hat on, I just had this feeling that Omega and the Bucks were going to walk away with the titles.
My expectations were very low for this match after the Young Bucks and Kenny had just beat Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. Because how are you going to top that match? this match was not as good, in my opinion. But, man, this match was very entertaining. It surpassed my expectations. And like I said, I thought it was a very good trios final.
I think you're right. For sure, it was an excellent match for what it was. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The next match, I'll be honest, not so much. I'm personally not a fan of Jade Cargill. That's just me. She has some talent. I'm not knocking her as a wrestler, just not my taste of wrestlers. And I don't like this whole baddies thing. It seems silly to me. I'll put it that way.
Oh, for sure, it is silly. But you're not a member of the baddie section.
I am very much not.
I love when Tony Schiavone references the baddies. I just love hearing Tony Schiavone say baddies. I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't really tell. Was she kind of came out as the She-Hulk look? Is that right?
That's right. Which was cool. It was a nice nod. I thought
let's address the elephant in the room. Well, Jade is beautiful. Jade pulls it off. She's still a little green in the ring, but they have her out there with Ember Moon because Ember Moon's going to protect, look good at the same time, mm-hmm. make Jade Cargill look good. I love Jade Cargill's entrance music. It might be one of my top five favorite entrance musics in AEW. I just love it. It's like the female horseman theme, in my opinion. I love that. I love that music. But yeah, the crowd definitely pro Athena in this match. I don't know the match length, but obviously, Jade Cargill. What is she now? 38-0 or 39-0? I don't have the number exactly in front of me, CZ. But
I want to say 37.
This is their female Goldberg, for lack of a better term.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
And when Goldberg or Jade Cargill gets knocked off, it's going to be somebody big that's going to have to do it, right? So that's going to be fun. I don't have a problem with Jade Cargill winning here. The size discrepancy was a little bit of a problem for me in this match. Jade Cargill is money, and if they're smart, they're going to push her to the moon because she's only going to get better. She's only going to get better on the mic. She's only going to get better in the ring. And she's kind of got this underground following as it is. So I know you're not the biggest fan of her right now. I'm not saying I'm the biggest fan of her, but I see the potential there, and I think that's what they're doing with her. Another year from now, we could be talking about All Out 2023, and she suffers her first loss. I could see something like that. She doesn't lose until next year.
And I'll be honest, I hope she grows on me. One thing that I want to point out from my perspective, watching it on TV, you might not have seen this. I don't know who the ref in this match was, but there was one point where they're in the corner, Athena's covering Jade Cargill, and I swear the ref's hand dropped for the three count.
That happened a couple times, and I love how the wrestlers played it off. And during this match, the fans kind of were like, "What?" and then played it off. Later on, it was a little harder for some to swallow. But yeah, I kind of thought that too. I know what you're referencing. I know what you're referencing.
I mean, it was nice that they were able to play off of that and to kind of push it aside. But I'm watching that and I'm just like, Athena just won. The match should be over. I know it's not. I realize it's not, but it should be.
And I think maybe a mistake some referees are making. I'm not pigeonholing any referee. And maybe it's something now, I don't know, when a referee drops down, some referees are hitting their hand when they drop down to make it the illusion of one, when it's not, when their hand they're dropping hasn't hit yet. So the hand they're using to stop themselves is hitting the canvas, and I think people start thinking that's maybe the one count.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind that.
I can see that happening maybe. I don't know. But that sometimes – I don't know. As you grow older, they say you get wiser, and I don't know if I am or not, but I'm, like, starting to use logic. I guess there's logic in this world to be used. And I kind of thought, like, you know what? Maybe that's the case. I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot, but that's the way I was logically looking at it.
And Nick, I'm going to call an audible on you here before we move to the next match. When we talked off air, we were going to do this after the next match, but I think we've talked long enough. I just want to shout this out here. So as part of the For Frequency's Sake podcast network, I just want to give a shout out to our Sunday show live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. It's every Sunday during the football season from 10 to 10:30. And it's all about fantasy football. It's called For Fantasy's Sake. They bring the fire fantasy football takes, updating you on the week's rankings and injuries and getting you ready for the fantasy football matchups each week. Like I said, the show can be found. It's interactive. It's found on Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can also find them at For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, at FFSQC on Twitter. And the email is forfantasysakeqc@gmail.com.
Yeah, I am looking forward to meeting the rest of the crew for Fantasy's Sake show. No DJ, of course. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody else. But, yeah, I have fantasy football draft today. Unfortunately, I didn't talk to DJ before it, so I probably drafted a stinker. So we'll find out here in the coming weeks. But next week, this coming Thursday, as we record, is the kickoff to the NFL with the rest of the games on Sunday and Monday. So you definitely want to tune into those guys on Sunday morning, 10 to 11:30. Get your lineup set. Hey, you don't want to put a dud in your lineup that just pulled up with a hangnail and he's going to miss and give you 0 points. So you definitely want to check in with these guys 10 to 11:30 for Fantasy's Sake on the For Frequency's Sake network. Correct.
Correct. Absolutely.
Well, that's a tongue twister. That's a series of words that you could twist up that could turn bad real quick, and I just leave it at that.
That is very true. So coming back in gear, we have one of the best matchups of the night going into the show, going into the match. That is the War Dog Wardlow teaming up with your boys, the FTR, going against Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. And let me tell you, I was stoked to see the Motor City Machine Guns on the card and going against the best tag team in wrestling today, arguably. I think this was a barn burner of a match.
Yeah, this is going to set up hopefully something with FTR and the Motor City Machine Guns here in the future, whether it be on the Ring of Honor side or the AEW side. Two contrasting styles. Styles make fights. Want to see those guys work together down the road because they haven't had a major program in the past before due to where they were to just how the stars align. You add Jay Lethal to this, who's one of my favorite workers in any company right now. I love watching his matches. He's entertaining, whether he's doing the Jay Lethal thing or the Black Machismo. And then Wardlow. Crowd loved Wardlow and FTR. Absolutely loved Wardlow. The Wardlow chants were as loud as they – I hope they were as loud as they were on TV as they were live, because it was crazy how loud they were for Wardlow. A fun six-man. Everybody got their shine in this. And – I'll let you talk about the ending, but yeah, this was a big one for me. This is, I finally got to see FTR wrestle live, so got to cross that one off. So I just kind of sat back and took a few pictures and just really enjoyed this one.
And my key points for this one, I thought the ring psychology was very well crafted. The guns doing a great job of cutting off the ring, keeping. I don't remember who off the top of my head was in when this
Dax Harwood. They cut the ring off on him.
Yeah, so arguably the best member of the trio of FTR, my favorite FTR member, Dax Harwood, he's getting the ring cut off. They did a brilliant job. Ring psychology was great. The whole build for the match. I think my favorite part was, at least during the match, was Wardlow gets stuck in the corner and Lethal and both of the guns go triple drop kick on him. That was a lot of fun to see Wardlow getting his butt kicked in the corner there.
Yeah, and having three guys do it, which makes it even look better, right? It's like three guys that took this guy's butt. But, yeah, that spot was a really cool spot in the match. Six guys that look like they work incredibly well with each other. That's what I saw last night in this match. This was our fourth match of the card, if I'm not mistaken, CZ, and the first match of the night on the main show where we have the good guys win, right?
Yeah. For sure, yeah. I liked the end of this. You know, Wardlow does the Powerbomb Symphony to get the win, but I thought the best part was when Dax's daughter comes out, they throw Sanjay Dutt into the ring, and she gets the pin on him, and the ref, the best touch was the ref counting the three count with Little Miss Dax's daughter just 1 foot on top of Sanjay.
Yes, and during that melee post-match, FTR and Wardlow were outnumbered, and so a returning, reigning Ring of Honor television champion, Samoa Joe, came out to even the odds, and the crowd loved seeing Samoa Joe. It was good to see him back in the ring. I believe he was recording, I don't know if it was voice for animation or for a series, Gears of War, I think, is coming out with a series or something, and he is a character in it. So that's where he has been. That's where he has been. So, and I think maybe it's in more animation, so it's more of a voice thing. But that's where he has been. So it's good to get him back out. A pleasant surprise to have him come back. You know, we had the surprise with the Joker in the first match. We had the surprise return of Samoa Joe here. Am I missing any other surprises between match one and match four? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Okay.
So, you know, I can think of
two pretty cool surprises, you know, and we still have bigger surprises to come, but it was really good to see Samoa Joe back. Crowd loved seeing them. It was cool.
So next up on the card is Starks and Hobbs. I don't have a lot on this one. I think it went as expected. Hobbs was just dominant over Starks through most of the match as I'm sure people expected. Very one-sided, in my opinion. Not a stellar match, not the worst match on the card, which I don't know that I can say there was a worst match on this card.
No, in all honesty. I'm going to – you know what? If you're looking – if you watch wrestling for star ratings, that's fine. That's your thing. That's cool. But each of these matches really told a story, which is what we watch wrestling for. In either a new story branched off that, or the story continued, and it's a different twist and more than you expected. So, yeah, this match wasn't long, but Hobbs needed this match more than Starks. They're trying 100%. To go Hobbs. Starks is over, man. Starks can do whatever and lose. He's still going to be fine. So, yeah, Hobbs needed this. He needed to win the way he did. Because Starks has to have somebody to chase, right? And that's what it's going to be. So, yeah, this was the first of it. Won't be the last of it. But, yeah, Hobbs had to have a win here. Got a big win on the pay-per-view. And trust me, Starks is over like Rover. Crowd loved him. Crowd loved him. So him losing this is not going to hurt anything. And looks like Hobbs is the next monster they're going to build.
And I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think he's built for it. He has a great look. He's got the skills. He's definitely someone to watch moving forward from here on out.
Well, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. And last night is obviously they like where he's at with Starks in this program, giving him a win on their biggest show of the year. It's only going to get better for Powerhouse Hobbs and with the plans I feel they have for him.
And I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to now. I'm looking forward to talking about this next match and how you felt in the arena, because this is, other than the main event, my favorite match of the entire show. The crowd was just hot, and I'm just going to come out and say what everybody's thinking. Scissor me, daddy ass. This show was this match was a barn burner.
I think this is the best match I've ever seen live, and I'll leave it that way. I was at All Out last year. I watched the Bucks and the Luchas in the cage. I think this match, okay, the experience for me was better. Here's why. Everybody in that crowd wanted the Acclaimed to win. Everybody.
That's because everybody loves the Acclaimed.
Everybody does. Everybody loves the Acclaimed. And the fact that a simple thing is scissoring has gotten these guys over. Obviously,
it's
the
so ridiculous.
It's so simple, but I'm telling you, I have never been to an English Premier League soccer game, but I felt like I was at one last night, yelling aloud with the crowd, "Oh, scissor me, daddy. Oh, scissor me, dad." It was amazing. And the crowd lived, and most importantly, the crowd died on every near fall that either Swerve or Keith Lee kicked out of. And let me say this,
Go ahead. No, I'm so happy that you went there with the chant, because I was going to mention here, they did that at Clash of the Castle for Drew. You know, you had the, "Oh, Drew McIntyre," and
yep.
Chicago was not going to be outdone by that.
Well, I think it's also the bask in his glory. Oh, bask in his glory. That's kind of what started it, and then the scissor me.
It's so ridiculous.
Scissor me, daddy. But it's simple. It's ridiculous. But you know what? Everybody's laughing and having a good time. It was hilarious. But I'm going to give props here to Swerve and Keith Lee, who came in, supposed to be working face, had to change their style and worked heel throughout the match. Got booed at. Probably something they weren't used to. Chicago's one of those crowds going to tell you how they feel. And that match is the best match I've ever seen live. And the experience was a roller coaster. And I wish we're all looking at each other. We wish that the AEW would have called an audible during that match last night, because I feel now, and if you were there, you know, it's just that feeling in the air. Like when they win now, I just feel like that ship has sailed. Like last night should have been the night they won.
I think you are correct. I know that was brought up during the press conference with Tony Khan after. Keith Lee and Swerve both touched on it a bit, and everybody feels that the right call was made, at least as far as Tony and Swerve and Our Glory goes. But from a fan standpoint, they should have 100% called an audible, in my opinion.
I think if you look down the road, Grand Slam's coming up on Dynamite in a few weeks. And I think that's probably where it's going to happen now. I don't care. I was a part of I was in that crowd last night. I heard those people. There may be more people in New York, but I think it was an organic feeling. Max Caster had a little concert over at the free Pro Wrestling Tees party beforehand. He was hilarious. He was great with the crowd. I met Max last year at a pre-party at All Out. And dude, the dude's great. The dude's hilarious. So he's got it. Bowens has it. They're entertaining. They got Daddy Ass with them, who, by the way, if you don't know who Daddy Ass is, that's Billy Gunn, aka Daddy Ass. But I think they missed an opportunity last night. I hope I'm proven wrong. I like to be wrong, like I told you with Clash of the Castle. Hey, they got me at the end of the show. I love it. Hey, if there's a better story to be told, okay, I'll believe you. I'll watch it. But, man, I thought they missed a wonderful opportunity last night.
I'm right there with you.
think you were in a completely different environment than I was. What was the reaction in that room? Because I'm sure, you know, as the match went on, man, it's just like you felt the same way I did. The Acclaimed are going to do this.
Everybody that I was with, they felt that this was the Acclaimed's night, that they should have won the belts. This was their moment, and AEW dropped the ball.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the reminiscent moment of Max Caster doing the attitude adjustment more or less to Keith Lee you know, that was a big moment, you know.
Oh, my. I thought,
man, this is going to happen. This is going to happen, but not so much.
And then, you know, we go from that match, which was so hyped, and the, you know, you got to just feel that the air got sucked out of the room when the Acclaimed lost. But you go from that to the Fatal 4-Way for the women's, for the interim women's championship. What did you think of this match? I don't have a lot of notes. I know Hikaru got escorted to the back early on and then comes back blazing with a pair of kendo sticks. Lot of tension between Jamie Hayter and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Both of them cost each other the match at one point. So that's a budding storyline that you had to kind of know was going to be coming when they're in a four-way together. I don't know. Tony Storm got the win. What's your opinion on this one?
Crowd exhausted after the previous match. You know how the crowd wanted the Acclaimed to win in the previous match?
Mm-hmm.
They got behind Jamie Hayter in this match. And I thought maybe this was the time, but they sowed the seeds for Britt Baker and for Jamie Hayter down the road, and I'm fine with that. I wasn't as upset with the finish of this match as I was with the previous match. Rumor always had it was going to be Tony Storm, you know, eventually taking it off Thunder Rosa. Now at some point we'll hopefully get that unification match. But happy for Tony Storm. You got to look at it this way. Britt Baker doesn't need the belt. She's got Jamie Hayter. That's a built-in, you know, feud right there. So the win makes sense. This match was just kind of hard to sit and process after what had just happened. So a tough act to follow for sure. I want to go back and watch this when it becomes available because, yeah, just the reaction from the previous match really took away from reading into much of this match, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the one point where, hindsight being 2020, they should have changed the card, because the women's title following the tag title, with the way the crowd was for the tag title, it just made the women's title match fall flat, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. But you know what? You didn't know at the beginning of the night. You had a feeling that the Acclaimed and Swerve and Our Glory would be good. But if you had told me before the show that was going to be the best card, I'd have been like, okay, you know, that's, but it was, in my opinion, that was the best match on the card. The last match was great too, don't get me wrong, but hard off to follow when you had that much going on in the arena. You know, the soccer stadium fans, you know, Swerve hitting Keith Lee hit Swerve, the big slam by, you know, by Max Caster. I mean, it was so fun, man. I can't wait to go back and watch that match.
I'm with you. I you'll have to let me know when it becomes available, because I'd love to sit down with you and watch that together. That'd be great. So after that, you know, we have the air sucked out of the room for the women's match, and then we get to Christian versus Jungle Boy, their match, if you can call it that. Early on in this rivalry, Luchasaurus had been seemingly brainwashed by Christian Cage and was just an attack dog for him. And we've come full circle. Luchasaurus comes out and just attacks the crap out of Jungle Boy, slams him off the stage, and absolutely destroys him. This is where I have in my notes. I've said this to you off air a couple times, but I honestly believe that the Timekeepers table in AEW is their answer to WWE's Spanish announce table of the 90s.
And that thing is mic'd up like you wouldn't believe, because when Jungle Boy went through it, it was like, I've heard tables before, but never that loud. It was a pretty cool effect, by the way. But yeah, their announce table is just like, it's a wrestling trope. It's the Spanish announce table from the mid-90s on in WWE.
Yeah.
This match, I think, by default, probably had the most time taken from it. I always thought Christian was going to win this since it was kind of the first time they got their hands on each other. And I can't remember, CZ, if we discussed it here or not, but Luchasaurus, since returning with Jungle Boy, had never laid his hands on Christian.
No, it hasn't been brought up.
Okay, I don't know if I can't remember if it was in an alternate universe or not, but he had never laid his hands on Christian. So the spot he took with like the power bomb onto the metal grating, then the power bomb onto the table, then the two spots in the ring, and 1, 2, 3. Yeah, they had Jungle Boy's. I wish I could have seen more of the interaction between Christian and Jungle Boy's family, but yeah, this match was short and sweet. But you can't expect Jungle Boy to win after he got the crap beat out of him for the first 3 minutes. He got jumped. So, yes, this continues the story. Doesn't hurt Jungle Boy one bit. And what if I told you that was the sixth match Christian has wrestled since last year's All Out?
Wow. That's a pretty light schedule for Christian. I mean, I can understand that.
He's not lying when he says he worked everyone.
No, he definitely is not. and I've always loved Christian. I think he's brilliant on the mic. He's very underrated. And this program with Jungle Boy is a lot of fun for me. I think they're both doing a great job. So we're gonna take another timeout real quick. Sure. Nick.
Jungle Boy is gonna come out better at the end of this by working with Christian. But yes, this is far from over. There's a lot to be seen here yet.
And just having a veteran like Christian bring up Jungle Boy is going to do wonders for him in the long run. I think you're right there.
Hey, where do we go next? I was at the show, but I don't think I could tell you for a million. Oh, I think I know what match is next.
Before we get there, we're going to take another quick timeout, and this will be the last one of the show. Just got to pay our dues to our wonderful podcast sponsors here by hyping some of the other great shows on the For Frequency Sake podcast network. So I do want to let you know to tune in to DFS Deep Dive on the For Frequency Sake on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch every Friday evening, and on your favorite podcast platforms each Saturday morning. Where Brian and the boys will be giving you the best DFS advice for each and every week and help you fatten your wallet for this season. In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at For Frequency's Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out forfrequencysakeqc.com this season for all college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week.
Yes.
Thank you for
fantasy football is here, folks. It's here, whether you like it or not, whether you participate in it or not. Right? You know what fantasy football is. Mm-hmm. You may as well participate. Because when you go to work, the guy next to you is going to tell you about his team, or the girl next to you is going to tell you about her team. So you just may as well do it. And then when you sign up and do it, go on over to For Fantasy's Sake on the For Frequency's Sake podcast network. Sunday mornings there from 10 to 11:30, and you're going to get your answers. I also heard something on there about DFS and fat in your wallet. CZ, we're wrestling fans. We don't have fat wallets. So any way we can fatten our wallet, we're looking for a way in. So definitely we have the avenue here for fantasy football and for fattening your wallet. You don't have to look any further than here. Okay. You're here right now. And if you want to hear, you know, a couple of fat guys talk about wrestling, you're in the right place, right? Fatten your wallet, right? Fat guys talking wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. We're cool. Right.
It's all simpatico. It makes sense.
Yeah.
We're all on the same page.
we're all on the same podcasting network in the same universe. It's like for a reason or something. I don't know. Yeah. Just play fantasy football. It's fun. It can be relatively cheap or it can be relatively expensive depending on how bad you want to fatten your wallet, right?
Right. So we're going to come back from our little break there, we're going to talk about Jericho and Bryan Danielson. This has to be the match that I was looking forward to the most, because both of these guys are amazing in their own right. I've always been a huge Jericho fan, whether it's in the ring or he's in his band Fozzy, which we know that he's going to be going away here pretty soon and doing his tour. That's coming up in the next couple of weeks. But this match, I don't think it disappointed. What do you think?
No, this was probably the number one singular match I was looking forward to on the card outside of the championship main event. We have Jericho as the Lionheart. He looks amazing for being in his early 50s, in great shape. And you've got what many consider the best wrestler in the world, you know, with Bryan Danielson. Loved the match. I loved how it started. It was slow. It was slow in the beginning. They're feeling each other out. But the Lionheart was showing that, hey, the sports entertainer, Le Champion, whatever you want to call him, can still get on the wizard.
Fellow wizard.
That's right. And, yeah, and it's one of your wizard brothers. But the whatever personality you want to do, he can wrestle. And he's getting on the ground and on the mat showing you he can wrestle with Bryan Danielson. And Bryan Danielson, in my opinion, is just it's just like watching greatness live.
He very much feels like an old school wrestler to me.
He does, and it's an old school wrestler with a very savage and brutal offense being a part of the Blackpool Combat Club. So I was looking forward to this match. It was fun. It was hard hitting. They were laying it in thick. The crowd was into it, and the ending, it shocked the live crowd. I don't know about you and where you were watching it. The crowd got a little dead during this match, and they were dead early, and I think they had the right to be, because they were just starting to get over the acclaimed Swerve in Our Glory tag match. So just coming back down to earth, and they're getting in, starting to get more and more involved in this match as it went on. But if there was a quiet, dead part of this show, it was the beginning parts of this match. It was no disrespect to the guys. I just think the crowd was dead at that point. They had been in the building for approaching 4 hours. So, yes, that's the one knock, in my opinion, about AEW, their pay-per-view run long. But as a paying customer, I got to see 15 matches last night. I'm not complaining about that part.
No, but I wouldn't either. It's a lot. I'll give you that. It's a long, long card. But
the crowd's there with a card that long. Chris, CZ, Wizard. I don't know. I'm going to go back and look, but I don't know which WrestleMania. What one-day WrestleMania had the most matches, because that's a 15-match show. It was long. It had a lot of people on it. And I think the crowd took the first half of this match off, but then they got back into it. And with the ending, they were shocked, but not as shocked as they were with the tag title match ending.
And it was so quick.
Yes! Yes!
You thought that Danielson was going to get it, and then out of nowhere comes the Judas effect from Jericho, and the match is over.
Yes, it's over. 1, 2, 3. And after the match, we see the Jericho Appreciation Society kind of storm the ring and celebrate with Jericho up the ramp.
Minus Danny Garcia.
And then I think it went to a video package, because Bryan Danielson sold the loss and the injury, lights went black, and then they went to video package and got ready for the next match. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the trios match between House of Black and Darby Allin, Sting, and Miro?
It is.
Okay.
I can just hear you in the arena when Darby and Sting come out, just doing your best Tony Schiavone impersonation. It's Sting!
I did.
Sure you did not, but.
I did. And I screamed, and people looked at me, and I didn't care because, gosh darn it, I finally got to see Sting wrestle. And I'm going to brag a little bit. One of the good pictures I got is Stinger running at the corner we were in doing a Stinger splash. It's a beautiful picture.
I can't wait to see that one. That has to be fantastic.
I was so happy. I marked out for FTR. They're my favorite team. Dax Harwood's my favorite wrestler. But that's the first time I've got to see Sting. And to be able to say, hey, I saw him on the biggest show where he's not a homogenized, pasteurized, bastardized version of his old self. Yes, he's in his 50s. He's not the Sting of 25 years ago. But he's not a part, he's not a caricature. He's respected. He's booked well. He's used well. He has that mystique to him. And he showed off that mystique in this match. And that was cool to see live.
And I just loved, there was a point in the match where he's got the Scorpion Deathlock on. I don't remember who he had it on, but everyone else is just kicking the crap out of him. And he's just no-selling those kicks. He's sitting there. He's shaking them off. He's keeping the Deathlock on, just like nothing's happening.
And it's not ridiculous because it's Sting. And each time he did it, the crowd ate it up even more. So, yeah, it was cool to see Sting. Darby Allin is such an anomaly to me because I think he gets a knock for being involved in a lot of these hardcore matches. But watching him move in the ring, how he counters and moves with the other guy, he's somebody I think we should keep an eye on here. You know, where's he going to be in 5 years? I hope he changes his wrestling style or he's not going to be walking in 10 because he's such a dynamic character. He's such a dynamic wrestler in the ring, the way he moves. I personally hope he can kind of change his style a little bit.
He reminds me a lot with his in-ring abilities and his in-ring showmanship of Jeff Hardy in his heyday. I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
You know, the risks that he takes, the moves that he does, it's very reminiscent of Daredevil Jeff Hardy.
It is. I just hope he polishes a little bit and doesn't end up like takes the choices or down the path that Jeff Hardy has done. And Jeff Hardy is hopefully fixing his demons or battling his demons. But yeah, Darby hopefully doesn't take the turn for the worst down that road.
I hope so also. I would hate to see that happen to anyone, especially someone up and coming with as much talent as a Darby Allin has. So we've been here. We've been talking for over an hour, Nick. We finally made it. Match 15 of 15 on the night. It is time for the main event. CM Punk, Jon Moxley, the undisputed at this point championship on the line. After Jon Moxley just completely destroyed CM Punk because of his foot a week or two ago on Dynamite. I love the fact that Punk comes out of the gate swinging and he hits a GTS basically right from the get-go and goes for the pin. That quick, it could have been over.
And there was the feeling, are we going to get a reciprocated match of what we got? What? Help me with my math, CZ. 11 days ago, according to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But we definitely got a quality heavyweight championship match here, I thought. You'll be surprised to know it wasn't all Punk. The crowd was probably 65-35 Punk Moxley, 60-40 Punk Moxley. So it wasn't 100% Punk in that building.
I really got that sense.
I mean, and you really got that Mox coming through the crowd. Mox took a little extra long to get through the crowd. And the people are eating that up. I noticed when Punk comes out in the all-white gear, there's probably going to end up with blood, his own blood all over it. That's always something I kind of spot. So I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. But credit where credit's due, these guys put together something unique. And not only was the championship up, you know, for grabs here, you have some bragging rights, obviously, between these two, and they're heated, quote unquote, you know, shoot messages back and forth to each other these past few days. The match delivered. It wasn't a dud. And, you know, no shenanigans. You thought there would be some shenanigans that would result in one guy winning, you know, by accident or something, but a clean match, no shenanigans between the two, and a bloody, hard-fought battle between two big names. You know, the main event.
And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that, as you said, the main event of their WrestleMania didn't end with a ridiculous finish, because you shouldn't do that on your biggest show of the year. First of all. Second of all, you need to have those clean matches on your pay-per-views every once in a while. Otherwise, I mean, everybody's just going to expect something ridiculous and hokey to happen every time you come out.
Yeah, and you got to have closer to stories, because where one pin happens, another program opens. That's my cheesy term. You know, where one door closes, another one opens. I'm serious. Where one match ends, another program starts. And physical matchup, we get the GTS.
Twice.
Punk was cut open from what I could see. And at one point, his face looked like neon red from where I was sitting. Boy, it looked like he was bleeding pretty good.
And here's what I love. Punk comes out the winner. He hits the GTS two times in a row. The end of this night as a whole, and we'll get to this in just a second, but it had a very, what is the Japan show at the beginning of the year? I'm blanking on
Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes. It had a Wrestle Kingdom ending feeling, where you end the match and the next competitor in line shows up to stake his claim on the title.
Yeah, the next competitor is the Joker. Well, who's this Joker guy? And help me here. What mask did he have on?
Oh, I don't know, honestly. It's
from a sci-fi realm. I'm going to look it up after this, and we'll maybe be able to update it on our social media. But the mask thing was great. The reveal in the arena was magic. It was, the crowd loved it. They loved every part of it. And I think, you know, you weren't going to get them to get their hands on each other last night, but no. you had to tease everybody with the appetizer. And that was the appetizer to what's going to be probably, my goodness, their dog collar match was one of the best matches of the year so far. I can't wait to see what happens. Can't wait to see what happens with this. And I'm telling you what, people were happy walking out of there last night. Everybody went home. I mean, the majority went home happy with how the show ended. You know, you got a definitive win in a championship match with no run-ins or shenanigans, and then you have a big comeback, re-debut at the end of the show with Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm telling you, when that music hit, the place went berserk. It was fun, dude. It was cool.
And I got the sense that a lot of the crowd was just solidly behind MJF when he stepped out into the arena. I mean, you and I talked, I believe, on air a couple times, that at this point in time, after he left and he's been gone for so many months, how do you bring MJF back? And this was the best way to bring Max back into AEW.
You answered the question, how do you bring them back? How they did it last night, how they did it All Out. Now, I went back and read some stuff. You could hear the voicemail in the arena, but I couldn't hear everything that was being said on it. But I love that angle. MJF being the chicken crap heel that he is, using a begging, pleading Tony Khan voicemail, which makes Tony look like a little Mark, that MJF was calling him, begging him to come back, offering him the money. dude, this is going to be great. This is going to be great because MJF is going to twist so much stuff here. You're going to have two guys, the promos leading up to it. I just want them to let this thing simmer. I don't want them to rush and blow this thing up. I want this thing to simmer, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
I agree. It needs to have a slow build because that's only going to make it more powerful when they do finally collide in the ring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What were your thoughts on the match and the ending of the match?
I thought the match was well put together. A lot of blood. I thought it was, I kind of was grossed out a little bit because there was a part where Mox takes his hand, he smears Punk's blood on it, and he gives it a big lick. But overall, you know, Mox was brutal as he always is, scraping and digging at Punk's injured forehead. And I think this was, you know, I don't think this was the best match of the night, but it definitely was the second, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was definitely up there. It was in the top three of matches for me. I would have put it, you know, right behind the tag team championship match, and then right ahead of Jericho and Bryan Danielson. But man, there was no proverbial stinker on this show. Yeah, you had more pre-show matches, but those matches had stories leading into them or little stories. And overall, dude, I thought this was a great pay-per-view. I didn't know how they could top last year's All Out, and I think they did. You know, they had the returns last year, but having the title change, the return of Maxwell Jacob Friedman after how he had left, we're going to find out how much of that was real, how much of that wasn't. Regardless, everybody's talking about it. It caught people by surprise, and the end result is everybody's going to win. Because this is going to be probably the feud of the year, you know, when they get this thing going like it should.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be the feud of the year, in my opinion, if they book it right, when they book it right. I do want to touch a little bit because I don't want to bring down the show. I don't want to bring down my feelings on All Out. So I'm not going to dwell on this, but there was a lot happening after the card between Punk and the Bucks. And I'm anxious to, I don't want to talk about it. It's a lot of negativity that we don't need on our podcast, but I'm anxious to see how it plays out because the only thing that I'll say is it sounded like the Bucks threatened to leave after some of the things that Punk said, like leave AEW completely.
Yeah, if we'll talk about them in future shows if something perspires from this. But you want to go see those? They're free on YouTube on the Media Scrum. Go find them there. Form your own opinions. If it becomes bigger or people lose their jobs or switch companies over this, we'll talk about it. But, yeah, there's some serious crap going on backstage in AEW. And their biggest competition might not be WWE. It may be the internal strife and the civil war that may come between these two, within their own company.
Absolutely, for sure.
But that's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah. I don't want to discuss it any more than that. I wanted to bring it up because it is relevant to all the happenings in AEW right now.
It is. And I thought with you bringing it up, if people want to go seek it, it is on YouTube. It's free. You can find it right there. It's the post-media scrum from All Out last night.
So that puts a wrap on our recap of All Out. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up for the rest of the month of September, Nick. We've got some great shows ahead of us. And I say great, I'm gonna caveat that because next week we're watching a stinker of a pay-per-view. I'm not going to lie.
I was taking a drink of water and I choked. Yeah. So when the Wizard has, in his infinite wisdom and analytical style that he uses to break down things, we will be reviewing the masterpiece, the gem that is Slamboree 2000. Yeah. WCW.
I don't want to say.
WCW didn't end, you know, after the Monday Night Wars were won. They went out very miserably, and we are going to commiserate that that misery with Slamboree 2000.
And that's really all I want to say on that until next week. Just a little preview. This is heavy into the Russo-Bischoff regime. So I'll leave that lie where it is, but that's coming up next week. We're going to continue our love fest for WCW for the month, because September to me has always meant Fall Brawl. One of my favorite events of the year because of the War Games match. I've always been a big fan of War Games. So we are going to review the week after next, Fall Brawl 97. Really good card, solid. I can't wait for that one. And I don't want to give too much away, but we're going to end the month of September with a couple of interviews from some local wrestlers and wrestling enthusiasts. Somebody a lot of our listeners might recognize, but like I said, I'm not going to name names yet. We're going to just leave that lingering for now. But our very first interview, in my opinion, is big if you're into local wrestling here in the Quad Cities. And even if you're not, it might be somebody that you recognize for other reasons than just his in-ring ability. But I'm excited. Both the wrestlers we're going to interview here, both the people we're going to interview, have been in the business for almost 20 years. I've known both of them for probably about 10 or 15 years from when I was doing ring announcing and videotaping the shows a long time ago. So I'm excited. I don't know how you feel about that, Nick.
Yeah, it's going to give our fans, you know, our listeners a different look at things. You know, a mind, you know, more inside the business. We're not really inside. We're more fans, but maybe answer some questions, give us a different perspective on things, why things happen the way they do and whatnot. Yeah, we're excited for what's coming here for the remainder of 2022 and 2023 going forward. Got some fun shows coming up. If you like making fun of bad shows, reviewing current shows and fantasy booking, we're going to have some fun stuff for you. And we're going to kick that off this fall run. You know, hey, everybody kicks off their fall lineup. Does our fall lineup kick off next week?
It has to, absolutely.
must listen to podcast on the must listen to podcast on the For Frequency's Sake Network. Season premiere, you know, next week, the fall premiere, Slamboree 2000. It's going to be one you don't want to miss.
If you missed it as a live pay-per-view,
I've been told it's bad and I can't wait.
Yeah, it is one of WCW's all-time worst pay-per-views. I will admit, I pulled up a couple of lists, the worst pay-per-views WWE has ever put on, worst pay-per-views WCW has ever put on, because I'm on this weird kick right now where I just want to dump on something that was terrible, because I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I think our listeners are going to have a lot of fun with it. So if you're going to tune in and you want to follow along, fire up your Peacock and take a look at Slamboree 2000. Nick and I will be watching it this week, and we'll give our thoughts on it when we're with you next time.
I am looking forward to it. Until then, enjoy your wrestling, love your wrestling, and respect other people's wrestling, right?
Absolutely. For the Honorable Nick Bull, you can find him at NickBull55. I am at the Wizard CZ. Find us on both Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Card Subject to Change Podcast. On Twitter, you can find us at CSTS Podcast. That'll do it for today. You guys have a great rest of your week. Like Nick said, enjoy your wrestling, and we'll see you. We'll see you next week for Slamboree 2000.
Can't wait.